Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
Over here. Now you got it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Anybody who bets Michigan football in the first week of the season is an idiot.
Touchdown, J.J. McCarthy. The Wolverines lead it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, 28-time Emmy Award winner Bob Costas, host of ESPN's First Take, Stephen A. Smith, Bills linebacker Von Miller. Coming up from Netflix's Cobra Kai, actor Martin Cove. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Man, if we had a great show already for the first 2 hours with Bob Costas, Stephen A. Smith, and Von Miller having called into the program. If you missed any of it, it's right here on our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, which is for the moment in this month where we're migrating to the Roku channel. This is how you can watch us every day right here on our YouTube stream. Almost 500,000 subscribers. I'm now rounding up. From the almost 460,000. I mean, I just rounded up a lot.
You rounded up a lot.
I did what my dad used to do. He used to round up when it was beneficial to him, my age, and then round down when it was beneficial to him.
Right.
If I wasn't acting my age, you were almost 12, and I was like 11 and a quarter. And then I asked to do something that was beyond my age. You're barely 11. Like, that's what my dad used to do. And I caught on after a while.
That's a good dad move. I mean, I can't
put
wait.
Put that in your arsenal.
I mean, I got it. I can't
put that
wait.
In your arsenal.
I can't wait to.
Well,
I
just rounded up to the Rich Eisen Show's benefit. Martin Cove is on this program. We are jacked up, man.
So,
Cobra Kai season 5. Season 5 of the television sequel of the great Karate Kid movies. You know, he enters our dojo. Do we say that?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Season 5 of Cobra Kai available for streaming this Friday. Of course, he plays the great John Kreese in this movie. He will attempt to sweep the leg. We got a great celebrity true or false for Martin coming up. We'll talk Karate Kid and Cobra Kai and more. Maybe a little bit of Rambo.
Yeah, absolutely.
First Blood Part 2.
Absolutely.
Okay. So
First Blood Part 2. That doesn't make sense. Second Blood.
Why wouldn't they go Rambo Second Blood?
It's Second Blood.
That had to be a very distinct decision-making choice. Don't overthink it. Second Blood.
Don't overthink it. First Blood, part two.
Bleeds Again?
Huh?
Could have been Bleeds Again.
Rambo Bleeds Again?
Bleeds Again.
Mike, that sounds like a bad Herbie the Love Bug movie.
We just throwing it out there.
Herbie Rides Again. Second you can't blood, Rambo I mean, Bleeds Again. TJ, you're awful quiet in this nonsensical conversation.
I don't want to add more nonsense to the nonsense.
Nonsense on top of nonsense.
No, I was just thinking, you know, I told you guys that this is my anniversary of leaving Pittsburgh, and I remember one of the first people I remember seeing, like, the first celebrities that was somewhere in the valley. It had to be early 2000, and that's where Martin Cove drove by me on, like, Lancashire or something, and I swear, like, a Trans Am or a Corvette, and I was just like, was that? Yes, it was. It was just one of those times when you first get to town and you see like someone famous and it bugs you out a little bit. And I remember he was one of those.
I'll tell this story. I've told this story before, and it kind of dovetails because Martin Cove has been on the Rockford Files. So, you know, when Susie was doing USC and playing, you know, covering USC and covering the Angels and covering the Lakers and all that, and I was on SportsCenter, I would come out here just to hang out. While she was working, and I would take some time off just to continue a long distance relationship.
Yeah, come out to the coast.
Anyway, so she set me up. She set me up at Bel Air Country Club.
Ooh, fancy.
Okay.
I think to her
UCLA connections, right? Because it's right there in Westwood. Like you tee off the first hole at Bel Air, and you're teeing off right into the campus of UCLA. But anyway, I just thought to myself, wow, here I am, a Staten Island kid playing at Bel Air Country Club. I had no business, you know, and I was nervous off the first tee, and I always slice, and I sliced it right off the first tee into the 18th fairway. okay, which is separated by this line of trees at the time.
Yeah.
And so I sliced it, and I just thought to myself as I sliced it into the 18th fairway, I thought to myself, will I see someone famous here? It's what it really crossed my mind as I'm like, is it possible I could run into somebody very famous here? Because I saw the faces of the members on the wall, and I recognized a few of them. I saw Vin Scully on the wall. I'm like, could I see Vin here today?
That would be amazing.
So I'm on the 18th fairway getting set to play my golf ball, and all of a sudden, have I told you this story?
I think I've told you this story.
Whizzing up in a golf cart are Mac Davis and James Garner.
Okay.
Just as I'm thinking to myself, is it possible I could see someone famous? Mac Davis and James Garner.
Mac Davis.
And James Garner has got a golf ball in between his thumb and his forefinger, and he is angry. And he says to me, is this your golf ball? And I'm like, no, actually, that's my golf ball. I pointed down at my feet in the middle of the fairway he's playing. And I'm like, that's my golf ball. He goes, all right. Because somebody's playing my effing ball and zooms off. And I thought to myself, that is the greatest thing ever. I'm wondering, am I going to see someone famous? Yeah. I not only saw someone famous, I saw two famous people playing golf together. And he accused me of playing the wrong golf ball, playing his. He was pissed. He was angry.
Man.
Amazing. That was my introduction to LA. I was really? Oh, I knew it was them.
Golf makes you angry.
Especially when you're...
Oh, my God. I feel for whoever wrongly played Jim Rockford's golf ball.
Wow.
Damn. That was amazing.
Jim Rockford's golf ball? Too late?
It's too late. It's too late. We have to close
we
up
really
shop
need to
our,
narrow this down.
We'll do that over the next week or two. Promise you. All right. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. It's a Monday. It's NFL week one. It's a Tuesday. My bad.
It's Tuesday.
It's the first day of an NFL week. Yeah. All right, hit it, Chris Brockman. Overreaction Monday/Tuesday. Hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction.
Can we calm down?
Tuesday.
All right, very good. I like it. Very day specific.
I don't want to calm down, to be honest. Hey, let's go news of the day, guys. Let's get right to it. Mitch Trubisky's going to lead the Steelers back to the playoffs.
False overreaction. Overreaction.
He's a captain. He's not getting benched.
I know. Look, man, it's a smart move. He's clearly, winning over the locker room or has won over the locker room. We just need to see. That's what's beautiful about the NFL and the NFL season is you never know. Tonight on NFL Network, I will be two seats away from the personification of you never know. In other words, we're skipping right over Mooch and we're landing on Kurt.
Right.
All right. So you never know. Mitchell Trubisky has a shot to be a starting quarterback in the NFL once again. Who'd have thunk it? After he lands in Buffalo as the only thing that he could land as in the NFL at the point in time, a backup quarterback. So he's a captain. He's going to get a shot. I do not, I hope to be wrong for his sake and the Steelers' sake. I just think that is an overreaction, Chris. This is the Bengals division. And the Steelers are not going to make the playoffs even. I think they could still be above 500, but in this AFC where 10 wins may not even be enough, I think the Steelers don't make the playoffs. I'm even, tonight, preview, putting them out, and you'll see who I put in on NFL Network in that segment of our season preview show where you have to take one out and put one in. I say that's an overreaction, sir. What's next?
How many hours away, TJ? We're like 55 hours
from 54. Football.
Oh, my gosh. I just can't wait. Bills, Rams, it's SoFi, a Super Bowl preview possible.
Yes, sir.
But you know what? It's not the defending champs with all the pressure. The Bills have more pressure on them this year than the Rams.
False. False.
In what way? They're the Super Bowl favorite. The quarterback is the betting favorite for MVP.
If you're putting it right here, more pressure on them than the Rams, yes, that's true. I don't think they've got a lot of pressure on them. I think they're going to handle it very well.
You just think pressure doesn't exist? You don't think Aaron Rodgers has pressure?
I've heard
no pressure on Dak, the Bill. Like, what is going on?
Dak called it privilege last week. Yeah. Earlier in hour number two, I asked Vaughn about that.
He said
the
same thing.
Should we just do the graphic? The Rams, the Bills have all the privilege on them this year? They're the favorite in everything. What have they won?
I just think, how about this? Of course there's pressure on them. The level of expectation for the Bills is its highest since the 90s.
Crazy.
Okay, since the dynastic run, and that was a dynastic run of the 90s. I think they're going to just handle it. I don't think they're going to sit there and go, uh-oh, we can't handle it. In the middle of the third quarter, everyone expects us to win. Look at that scoreboard. They're so talented. They're so good. I think it's going to be an overreaction of even a conversation of pressure for them. That they're going to
at all this season?
I think that they're going to perform so well, we won't even talk about the pressure on them. Let's revisit in January if they have to wind up in Kansas City again. Let's talk about that then.
Yeah, they better have
put a pin in it for the moment. I say that's an overreaction. What's next?
Okay, I saw a great headline today about Baker Mayfield and the Panthers. The ball's flying out of his hand. He's a leader. He's doing this. He's doing that. He's spotting dimes.
Oh my gosh,
Baker's going to have the Panthers in the playoff hunt all year long.
I think so. I think, again, it's your burning question for Carolina a couple days ago was about Matt Rhule's hot seat. It's McCaffrey's health. End of story.
Well, we know he's going to be healthy for week one.
Yeah, I guess. Let's just make sure he's in bubble wrap walking around his house or in the Culpo residence, wherever he might be.
Ew.
Honestly, that's it. Him coming out of college, it was don't draft him top 10. He's a piece of Stanford Tiffany, piece of Stanford China that can easily break. And he can't run between the tackles. And then his first couple of years, he said, I'll show you. And then the last 2 years have been a disaster of him unable to stay healthy. Soft tissue all over the place. That's what it's about. But yeah, I think Baker has the stuff, if healthy and protected, with DJ Moore and the McAdoo menu sheet, I'll say that's not an overreaction. I do like Baker and Carolina quite a bit. What's next?
Let's stay in that division.
Yes, sir.
Bucks offensive line in injury issues notwithstanding. No Gronk, no Antonio Brown, Russell Gage banged up. But Todd Bowles thinks Julio Jones has many good years left. Julio Jones is a key to the Bucs offense.
I don't think he's a key. I think that if he does perform similarly over the next 2 years, it's not going to be make or break for the Bucs. But him showing up like he did in Atlanta would be immensely, immensely helpful. So I will keep an eye on that. I'll put a pin in it. But for the moment, I don't think he has to do that. I think Russell Gage is the guy. I've been saying it since he signed there, that it's the most successful under the radar signing, possibly successful under the radar signing of the entire NFL in the hell going on month of March. So, but man, if he shows up and starts balling out, has a 100-yard game here and there and other places, and suddenly it's Godwin, Evans, and Jones and
Ooh.
Gage.
Oh, baby.
Good Lord. And Gage is right. You know, warp factor 5. What else?
Let's go to college now, guys. They won this weekend by a combined like 8,000-3, it seems like. We're headed for another Alabama-Georgia title game.
I know the Ohio State fans will raise their hands and say, well, don't forget about us. You know, and my team looked really good, too. And a handful of teams did as well. But, I mean, come on. Let's see what A&M has to say. Did you see Texas?
We're going to find out.
Texas is going to put the Alabama band in the rafters, and the Alabama band, like, it's like that we're not coming or something like that. I don't know. I shouldn't say things that I didn't completely read. I just glanced at on my Twitter feed over the weekend. But
there we go. Jordan Love's parents' seats.
I think they are. So they're not coming. Yeah. McConaughey's like, put them in the rafters. I don't know how you can say otherwise.
Yeah, just beat that. All right, here's a super overreaction. Brian Kelly. One and done at LSU.
That's absurd. What is with the Brian Kelly hate, man? What is with it? The pile on, the Twitter pile on was just intense.
I think the fake accent, the weird dancing with recruit
the bolting
videos,
Notre Dame.
And just peace out Notre Dame. I don't know, man.
What do you begrudge this man who wants to maybe go to a spot where he doesn't have a provost telling him 90% of the time you can't sign that kid? Seeing what it feels like to be on the other side, the SEC side of things. I mean, after all that time successfully, showing that Notre Dame's just a stepping stone job, you know?
I think the accent thing for me is...
Is that what it
like,
was?
He's from New England.
He's not one and done, man. He's not one and done. I mean, even Coach O got more time, man.
Not that much long after winning
Come
a title.
On.
All right, last one. Just start the expanded college playoffs now. Like, what are we waiting for?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
what
are we doing?
Because it's the TV. I don't think TV's ready yet. I don't know.
It's not hard to fix this. Like, let's go. Not even this year. Maybe just next year. Like, we're going to wait till 2026?
Yeah. I mean, I guess to put it all together, maybe we do need those extra games to tenderize Georgia and Alabama. Maybe somebody could pick them off.
Maybe
some Cinderella can go into in between the hedges or Tuscaloosa, because I guess
they're gonna get home games,
right?
Well, the top two teams get byes,
right?
And then the top four get byes, and then those four highest seeds get home games,
right? I think that's
just gonna be amazing. Like, let's just get right to it.
I know, as you know, preparations must be made. Gus Johnson or Chris Fowler's schedule has to be cleared. I'm with you.
I like Joe Tessa's call, by the way, for college. He does a great job.
A little shot of Tessitore is always great.
He does a great job.
Okay. Very good. Good overreaction
All
Tuesday.
Right, we're back.
Where were we? We've literally done overreaction Monday every Monday.
Keep it going.
Why not?
It never stops.
Dude, it's the football season.
I got hot takes everywhere.
What's it going to be like when there's 9 at 1 o'clock games at once on Sunday? Nine.
I'm going to have nine TVs going at my house.
Nine NFL games start at once on Sunday. By the way, that's after the Bills and Rams play.
I need to hire a babysitter.
That's
I can't
after college Saturday.
No, all that's in preparation.
Yes. Look at the number of 1 o'clock
games
up there.
Tversi playing that night.
Dude, 9 1 o'clock games.
Nice.
Jeez. We're going to have to get to this at some point over the week. Of course we will. We've got 3 more days. I'm just fired up. I love doing shows like this. I love it. I love in-studio guests. I love pop culture and sports. I love having Bob Costas.
You love corn?
Stephen A. Smith. And I love having Von Miller on the same schedule as our next guest about to come out here to talk about Cobra Kai and Karate Kid and First Blood Part 2.
First Blood Part 2.
Okay, we got a celebrity true or false, and I do believe he has agreed to do what we've asked him to do is to deliver hot takes. Martin Cove's NFL hot takes coming up. Entering our dojo when we come back on the Rich Eisen Show.
Yes, Sensei.
Season 5 of Cobra Kai is back on Netflix starting this very Friday. What was it like? Who called you to say, would you like to reprise your role from the Karate Kid series? Walk me through getting that call.
Well, three writers, and I was in touch with Josh Heald, one of the three writers. And they had gotten Billy and Ralph, mm-hmm. and I was interested in doing it. And we had, I think it was dinner here at Dantana's, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested in doing it, but I did not want to do it in the one-dimensional framework mm-hmm. of John Kreese mm-hmm. in Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3. Just a tough ice, mm-hmm. you know? And I said, can we write him with more vulnerability, with more texture emotionally? And they said, yeah, we're interested in doing that. So they'd done it a little bit with, you know, with the flashbacks and all. And my son was actually in the first flashback. He played a bully that you think is me, but mm-hmm. he isn't. He's bullying me in 1965 mm-hmm. circa in a flashback, in a diner scene. But the bottom line was each season, they come up with more of a backstory that I backstory everything. Mm-hmm. So I write a lot of lines in between the lines of the script. And I create a fantasy, a background. And every one of my notes, working with mercenaries, working with Army Rangers, that I tried to give them each season,
mm-hmm.
they were a year and a half ahead of me. They just knew everything. They had the same plans for my character as I did.
Well, that's the beauty of television, right? Is that you can plan ahead, obviously, if you're fortunate enough to get renewed, and then... The minute this hit, it was on YouTube to start, and obviously you came towards the end of the first season. But the ferocity of the fan base love for the return because of the stuff that you're talking about. It wasn't just cookie cutter one note reprising of the characters from 30 years before. It was an actual deep dive into psyches and relationships and real life stuff. It was really neat.
It came at a right time because it was the highest rated show YouTube ever had.
Right.
And they left the writers alone to create.
Yes.
They didn't hold them, which many, when I did Cagney and Lacey, you had 6 years and you had constant people trying to reinvent things rather than stick to current events that Barney Rosenzweig insisted as the creator of the show.
Right.
He insisted we stick to the events of the New York Times and then we'll just write scripts about that. Well, nowadays you can't really do that. You get a lot of interference, and YouTube let us go. And then it's all in the writing. And I find out if I go through, you know, conventions, I always ask people, why do you watch the show? Why is it so important to you? And it's basically because the parents wanted the kids to watch Cobra Kai movies. The Karate Kid movies.
Well, I showed it to my, I've got a 13-year-old, well, at the time, 13, 11, and or 10 and 8. We showed it to them. And they
after they started watching Cobra Kai?
No, before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had no idea what Cobra Kai was at all. And we just said, you know what, let's show a movie that when we were kids. And of course, they immediately said, you know, no way.
Of course not.
Immediately, no. We don't want to watch something that's old. And I'm like, it's actually outstanding. And they ate it up, Martin. It was amazing.
You got lucky that you're able to do it first.
Yes.
Most of the parents ask the kids, and the kids say, no, I don't want to watch what you watched.
You know?
And then they watch Cobra Kai with the kids.
Yes.
And then the kids say, you know that movie you were talking about?
Yeah, let's watch that.
Show me that movie. So the adults, this is a story related to me so many times, they'll show them Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3, and everybody's hooked. And what it creates is a family show that you and I watched as Ed Sullivan. When Ed Sullivan came on, it became a family show, and we'd get around Sunday nights and watch it. There was always something for someone. Now that's Cobra Kai now. There's always something for someone. Whether you're 6, 16, I get occasionally cameos requesting not only from bar mitzvahs for kids or priests saying there's, we really want you to do a pep talk for someone because we're having an auction in the congregation and we want a John Kreese pep talk.
Yeah.
But I get stuff of people turning 60 and 70 who are fans of the show.
Of course.
So it's like, it's a little phenomenon. And Billy and Ralph and I don't look that much different than, you know, knock on wood, you know. So it's like the parents are watching what they watched when they were 16. And the kids are just enamored with everything else.
Cobra Kai, again, season 5 is coming to Netflix starting on this Friday. We've got a game here that we play called Celebrity True or False, where we ask about your filmography, your television story as well as your career, and that's out there on the
internet.
I'll
never work again after I do this.
Just to see what's true or false. Let's hit it. Martin Cove, Celebrity True or False. Hit it, please. Hit it.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
See, we have window dressing and production value for you right there, Martin Cove. Okay, here we go. Yeah, I know you're blown away. First things first up. True or false, Martin Cove? You were encouraged to stay in acting by none other than Sean Connery, who later became tennis buddies with you. Is that true or false?
It's true.
Okay. What were you on the fence? And Sean, how did you come across Sean Connery?
Sean Connery, I was his stand-in in 1972 when I was still acting in New York for a movie called The Anderson Tapes. And it was like a glorified extra. You just stand there, you listen to Sidney Lumet direct, you watch Sean interact with Martin Balsam and all these other people. And I learned one thing. I learned how to listen by watching Sean Connery. Then probably 15 years later, I've done Karate Kid. I'm a little more established, and I bump into him on a tennis court. And I say, you want to hit the ball? And I said to him, do you remember me? I was your stand-in. And he says, nope. He said, nope. You know, he said, but do you want to hit the ball? And I said, sure. And we're hitting the ball, and he was terrible. He wasn't hitting well. He had a back problem.
Oh, boy.
And he was cursing. But he was cursing, which I can't say here on the show. But he was cursing so much like we do as teenagers. And I'm cracking up hysterical because I'm saying on the other side of the court, I'm playing tennis with James Bond and he's cursing just like I do, you know? And I'm dying. I couldn't hit the ball back either because I was laughing so hard. And then we became friends, you know? And yeah, so what they're referring to is I asked him, because I was accepted to a classical repertory company, mm-hmm. and I was accepted also to the NYU School of the Arts.
Yes.
At the same time. And it would have been the fifth year of college. And I said, I posed the question, do I go back to school or do this? And he said, young man, if you can do Antigone, you can do anything, which means go work with the repertory company
sure.
and forget about school. And I did.
And you did that.
I did that.
And so after the Anderson tapes, you started getting some gigs here in town with the Rockford Files, right? You were on the Rockford Files?
That was in New York.
Okay.
I was there and I came here and I guess in the first year I was here, I got a lot of those guest stars like mm-hmm. in the Rockford Files, like 8 TV shows and 3 movies.
Because you told a story off camera here. You knew James Garner offset, right?
Yeah.
And did you go to a sporting event with him or something like that?
We had the same orthopedic doctor, Robert Rosenfeld, who ran with the Raiders.
Okay.
And he took us to all the games, and we went on the field and with the passes and heard all the hits and the bangs.
Up
and,
in Oakland you're talking about?
Yeah, both. Okay. Oakland and
L.A.?
And L.A. They played in L.A. a couple of times. Then they were still the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
And it was fantastic. I mean, as a New Yorker, I didn't root for the Giants or the Jets, so this was my first experience. And I loved it. And I was a soccer goalie because mm-hmm. I wanted to play football. But none of the schools had football teams that I went to. So ultimately, I just lived vicariously through these players.
What's it like going to a football game with James Garner? What was that like? He must have been like a rock star.
He's
like,
a lot of fun. I mean, but I loved James Garner and Maverick.
Yes,
you know,
sure.
I was, you know, that was the year, that was the period of time where there were 35 Westerns on primetime TV in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And Maverick was my favorite.
Sure.
And we talked about it, and we talked about the Americanization of Emily. We talked about The Great Escape. You know?
Oh, what a great movie that is.
I mean, we talked about great films,
of course.
You know? And that's the greatest thing working with, like when I worked with James Coburn, mm-hmm. it was his last movie, and I just talked about Magnificent Seven, and I just talked about also The Great Escape with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an iconic actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have a good time. And even with Charles Bronson, we talked about so much. Charles Bronson surprised me. His favorite show mm-hmm. was Cagney and Lacey.
I don't mean to laugh, but, you
no,
know.
But I laughed. I was in a...
Was he a Sharon Gless fan? Is that what you're talking about?
That was it. Sharon Gless, Tyne Daly.
Yes, of course.
I'm at an event, you know, after doing, what did I do? White Buffalo, 1976.
Yes.
Then I didn't see him till 1989.
Yeah.
I'm at a black tie event. I walk up to him and I say, hey, Charlie, you remember me from mm-hmm. the White Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, yeah, you're still doing that series with them girls. And I say, you watch Cagney and Lacey? And Charlie says, my favorite show.
Go figure. Martin Cove here, Celebrity True or False, rolling on. All right, let's get to some Karate Kid questions. Your role of John Kreese, true or false, others considered for it, Kurt Russell, Jeff Bridges, Harvey Keitel, Leonard Nimoy, and Christopher Walken. Is that true?
No.
That's not true?
No. I mean,
okay.
That might have been true behind doors that I never knew. The actors I knew...
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were contemplating Toshirô Mifumi.
Mm-hmm.
They were contemplating Chuck Norris. Toshirô Mifumi, they were thinking about him for Miyagi,
mm-hmm.
but he also could have been the teacher. But his whole group didn't speak enough English. He had a massive entourage, and John Avildsen told me the story.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, he didn't speak English well enough either to play Kreese or Miyagi.
Mm-hmm.
But none of those other actors were mentioned. I think it was. John Glover was mentioned.
But Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris, yeah. Oh, yeah, Chuck Norris.
Man.
Yeah, it would have been interesting.
It would have been definitely interesting, but obviously
you were
John Kreese, man. You still are today.
I don't know. You know, it's just, it was pretty crazy because I never thought of that character as being any more than another heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple of weeks' work, and none of us liked even the the title.
That's the we actually, that was one of the questions here, and let's get into that. True or false? No, you just said it's true. The cast universally hated the Karate Kid's film title? You hated it?
They felt like it was like a Bruce Lee movie. And, you know, but Bruce, nothing wrong with a Bruce Lee movie. Sure, I love Enter the Dragon. And,
sure.
But the bottom line is, we weren't like that. This was, nobody expected the success of this film. You know, you look at Casablanca, you look at Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, you see it once, bam. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the dailies, you know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be terrific. No one really knew, and I would hear the story from Jerry Weintraub and John, until they went to the screening. I think it was in Westwood. And they went to a screening, and everybody went wild at the end of the movie. And you get chills.
Yeah.
You know, Ralph and I, once were at a convention, and we watched the end of the movie from behind the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And 2,000 people were in front. So we watched the ending, and we still got chills. This is a year ago, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because it's one of those movies, it's a phenomenon. It means, and I have this discussion with Robert Kamen, the writer. He thinks the success is based on Ralph's chemistry with Miyagi. To me, the success of that film is the writing, just like Cobra Kai. Wax on, wax off, no mercy, sweep the leg, mercies for the weak. The force be with you, play it again, Sam. These lines come from great literature that were good scripts and made terrific movies.
Well, a part of me, because I've thought about it too, having seen it so many times, Martin Cove here on The Rich Eisen Show. So many people have been bullied in their lives. So many people have, maybe from a single parent household or moved across the country and were desperate to seek a moment where they can get a toehold in life and turn things around or be successful or be loved, you know? And that story, along with Miyagi coming in where he did, I that's what it is. And obviously you and your character and Billy Zabka's character standing in the way, it's kind of classic. It's a classic tale, but told in a way that I'd never seen before, you know? So I've got an interesting question for you here too, because we have this conversation. Is it a sports movie? Do you consider The Karate Kid a sports movie? In the same way where, obviously, when you say sports movies, we think of the
like
Natural,
Major League,
right?
Yeah, the Natural, Hoosiers.
Right. Do you consider The Karate Kid a sports movie, Martin Cove?
I they did something in ESPN once, and they had a list of all the sports movies, and we were on this disc.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. I actually consider this, karate, the value of karate is discipline.
Mm-hmm.
What it does for your focus in life is you can't even discuss it because it's also personal. So when you master and become a black belt, you have mastered enough discipline and focus to assist in your life for the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the value of it. I don't think that learning to kick, the kick at the end, this crane kick, is a totally illegal kick. It doesn't exist. it doesn't exist. I mean, Billy is the Karate Kid, not Ralph Macchio,
Yeah, sure.
And I've said this for 30 years, but nobody except after 10 years of the movie being in release,
yes,
realized that kick was a fantasy. There was no such kick as the crane kick. And then, but for 10 years, Bill, the Karate Kid's been Ralph Macchio.
Sure.
But the bottom line is, it's not about kicks. It's not about crescent kicks and punches and me going through the window with my real fist. It's not about that. It's all about the heart. And that's what that movie's about. And when I ask people why you like Karate Kid, and they all tell me the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I identified with it because my father was in the military and we traveled a lot.
Yes.
Or because I got bullied in high school, or because I had a romance that just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the three elements that always allowed them to identify with Ralph, with the story. And so to me, it's not a sports movie. Is Casablanca a sports movie? Really? Mm-hmm. We avoid the Nazis and all that stuff.
Right.
It's a movie about the heart and tenacity.
Martin Cove here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, sir, I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind channeling your inner John Kreese for a fun segment that we hope everyone will agree. We all thought, you know, the NFL season is upon us. It starts Thursday night right here in Los Angeles. And I'm wondering, we've written out some hot takes, some NFL hot takes from you. The camera's right there, and you know, you can read it and deliver it however you can. Martin Cove, as John Kreese, NFL hot takes. Would you mind doing this for us right now?
No, this is my favorite team, so I'm going to do it first out of order.
Okay, you can do whatever you wish, but first things first, we've got the music. Okay. John, here's Martin Cove, John Kreese, with NFL hot takes. Go for it.
Everyone thinks the Dallas Cowboys aren't as good as last year, or any year, when they've won it all. But guess what? Dak is back, Zeke can eat, and their all-world rookie, Micah Parsons, is now a grown lion roaring in the turf. I say the Dallas Cowboys will sweep the leg and finally win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yes, Sensei.
That's just, thank you, Sensei. Okay, here's the second hot take, Martin Cove's John Kreese NFL hot take.
Pain has sadly existed in Miami ever since Dan Marino left the Dolphins. But not anymore. It's time for the new Cobra Kai in South Florida to raise with the greatest accuracy ever seen on the football field. He will finish in the top three as an MVP voter. And his name is Tua.
Yes, Sensei.
Okay. We have one more Martin Cove hot take for the 2022 season as John Kreese. You have the floor, sir.
So, the youngster in San Francisco still has his old sensei on the team. And the whole football world suddenly has no mercy for Trey Lance. Well, I say, Jimmy G will start no games. No games for the 49ers this year. And Trey Lance will help his team rule the NFC. The NFC West Dojo.
Yes, Sensei.
NFL hot takes from Martin Cove. That's a winner.
His favorite team. Did you hear that, by the way?
Cowboys. Your favorite team, huh? How
Cowboys.
About that?
Cowboys. The Cowboys. I used to watch when I was the Raider fan, and then they weren't playing, and I would watch great quarterbacks, just teams. I would watch Dan Marino. Sure. I would watch Joe Montana. And I wasn't a fan of their teams, but I you know, so very much like watching in those days, you know, Staubach and you know.
Aikman later on.
Yeah, Troy Aikman later on. I mean, there was so much going on, mm-hmm. so much hot football that, and then I became, you know, eventually the Raiders hadn't gotten a quarterback in a long time, and I got tired of losing.
I understand.
You know, so I popped over to the Cowboys. And I'm going to go to a game this year and just go down there because it's just, it's a good organization.
I can hear you. And so I guess your hot take's not so hot. You really believe the Cowboys are going to win it all.
Yeah.
So, okay, very good.
I agree.
All right. I know you want to ask Martin one question before he goes.
We just need one crazy, you know, Stallone story from Rambo.
What do you got? You got anything?
Stallone story from Rambo. Yeah, sure. I got a good one. It won't incriminate me. It's good. All right. So we're at a disco. I think Carl.
By the way, that's it. That's it. That's a great way to start. Honestly, if we could have scripted it, you would have started it that way. I didn't mean to stop you. Okay. Sorry, Martin Cove. You got the. So you and Stallone are at a disco.
At a disco with the security guys. And I think it's Carlos and Charlie's. I think that was what it was. In Acapulco, because that's where we shot.
It's getting better.
Okay. And this is good. This is good. And whenever the girls would come up to Sly and they'd ask him, one girl would come up and say, you know, would you like to dance? And he would say no. And then another girl would say, you know, they'd come up to him and you know, if he said yes, he'd be in trouble.
Sure.
So he most of the time would say no. Well, in this case, I was sitting with him and a guy came up and said, what's the matter? You too good to dance with my girl?
Mm.
So all of a sudden there's a fight and it's like we're all fighting And we're all fighting. We're all fighting.
Like an actual fight?
Like a fight. Like a fight.
In Acapulco, this guy threw a punch. Acapulco Disco.
He threw a punch in Acapulco. It's not even good to get into a fight in Acapulco Disco. Mexico. But the bottom line is, the greatest story is that they had to lift Sly up. Like as if you're watching Bruce Springsteen in a concert.
Sure,
where he gets handled.
Crowd surfing, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they lifted him up, these security guys, and took him out of the club. We all had to leave the club. To me, it was hysterical because, you know, we would have stayed there and fought because that's just what we do.
It's first blood. A lot of blood.
It's just what we do.
A lot of blood. A lot of blood. Just what we do. Oh, my God. So, did you get the story you wanted?
That's a great story.
I mean, there's a lot of stories. That's like, doesn't incriminate me.
That's great. That's great. All right.
That's the story we were hoping for.
That's it. Season 5 of Cobra Kai can be checked out for streaming this very Friday on Netflix. Martin Cove, thank you for coming on. This
my
is a blast.
Pleasure.
Thanks for your hot takes. Thanks for your hot takes. Appreciate it.
All righty.
That's Martin Cove, everybody. Follow him on at Martin Cove on Twitter and Instagram. We're back to wrap up the show in a moment. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Martin Cove has just left the building. Martin Cove's hot takes, I think, went well.
I think it went well.
The Cowboys are going to sweep the leg.
I mean, apparently so. Okay. People were asking if I wrote that. I didn't write that.
No.
Those are Martin Cove's thoughts.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, Rich wrote them up. It was great.
Yep.
Came out awesome. Also, Martin Cove, Mount Rushmore, Hollywood butt chins?
I think so. And I don't know how many of the before you go, give me one story answers could top that. That's a top five.
Oh,
Somewhere in a Disco. Tell me about a great give me one Sly story. Somewhere in a Disco.
We're
in Acapulco. I mean, that's literally a Mad Lib. We would have written in Disco and Acapulco. Man.
We're running long. He's got to go.
He's got to go.
But we got to hear.
We got to go.
We got to hear something about Rambo. Home run.
Somebody upset that Stallone won't dance with any women, including his own. What are you, too good? You're too good? You won't dance with my
too
woman?
Too good to dance with my girl? Right.
With my, like, okay, that's odd. And then they start throwing down.
Do you think fighting. The guy did a Stallone impersonation to Stallone and that started the hands?
No, throw? I just think that, you know.
Why would you start a fight with Rambo?
Yeah, exactly.
What or Rocky.
Or Rocky.
Exactly. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
I mean, unless Carl Weathers
we can,
by the way,
Martin Cove is 76. He could kick all of our asses right now.
Exactly.
We got, in the last couple of months on this program, dynamite Stallone stories from Martin Cove and Henry Winkler.
Yes.
Fact.
All that's left is
the man himself.
Yeah. Getting Stallone in.
He has been invited through my pediatrician, my old pediatrician, I might add.
Dr. Vinny Boombox?
Not Vincent Boombox. That's right.
Stallone does fight parties at his house. We could just go with Glazer
Let's go.
One day.
Yeah,
that is true.
Sideline Mike in Atlanta is going to have the last word on today's show. What's up, Sideline Mike? What's going on?
I have missed you guys.
Right back at you.
DJ.
What's up, Mike?
Everybody.
Mike.
Hey, man. Did you watch the game Saturday?
Yes, yeah. I watched the game Saturday. Brockman was there.
I was at the game, Mike.
Hey, Brockman, you had a blast, didn't you?
Oh, I had a great time.
He doesn't remember it.
And they covered. Georgia's covered in more covered. Top 15 games than anybody. But look,
Rick, Georgia. Hey, you know, sideline Mike. Georgia didn't just cover. They smothered. They did it all.
They scattered, smothered, and covered. Okay? Now, okay, that was a chesty move at the Gold Jacket dinner, sir. Chesty. Woo-hoo. Rich. That was a big check you wrote, my brother. That's all I'm going to say.
Chesty move. That's a chesty move.
Chesty
move. Rich's chesty move.
And Mariota will be out by game 8. And Mr. Ritter going to take it the rest of the way.
Okay.
I'll talk to you guys next week.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
All right, Mike. Thank you very much. Michigan just moved into the top 5 in the Associated Press. Number 4. So is it
Clemson wins and goes down.
So it's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan?
Yep. Clemson, that's your top 5.
There you go. Hey, at least Michigan and Ohio State are scheduled to play each other. Unlike Alabama and Georgia, let's just not schedule each other.
They will play each other.
Oh, my God. Sound like Jerry Jones.
In the SEC Championship
They're
going to
be back
game.
For the playoffs. I didn't know.
Probably the National Championship
October 8th, really. Texas A&M and Alabama. That's the apple cart that could be the upsetter. And make Mr. Desmond Howard looks sage.
Yeah, a lot of UT fans are saying, hold on, wait till next week.
Texas?
Alabama's a 3-touchdown favorite next week.
Oh, my God.
See, Quinn Ewers got his car towed during the game.
Did he really? I didn't see that.
He's the starting quarterback. He's getting his car towed.
I missed that.
Yeah.
How's that even possible?
I have no idea.
I missed
Arch Manning looked good on Friday night,
bro,
though, TJ.
I text you that.
You see some of those highlights making the rounds? Arch Manning dropping dimes.
I'm going to be on the boat sooner than later. I'm just telling you. Okay. Maybe. Yes, invest in Arch. I'm telling you guys. Let's go.
Billy Gardell of Bob Hart Abishola is on tomorrow. Mia Kimes in studio tomorrow.
Hey.
As we just inch that much closer to the start of the season, I want to thank Martin Cove. What a delight of Cobra Kai. I also want to thank Von Miller, Stephen A. Smith, and Bob Costas. That'll wrap it up right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on our radio outfit. But for those checking us out on YouTube, stick around. We'll take you to the top of the hour to wrap up Tuesday in a moment.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.